Song. Praise the Lord. All right, Proverbs chapter 13 tonight. Get into the message. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13 tonight, verse number 13. Amen. Here come the records. Amen. All right. The girls had $43 and the boys had $31.58. Guys, we got them right where we want them. I love it whenever they start getting lifted up with pride. Amen. Oh, pride and come back on them. But all right, we'll try to do that over the course of the next couple of weeks, help raise the funds for fuel and so forth. Amen. Oh, she's moved on you, Brother Dean. She's been drugged to the back. Amen. Pray for you back there. It gets kind of wild back there. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 13. Amen. We'll begin there. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 13, says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. All right, Brother Terry, I forgot to turn this on, so I'll do that now. So bear with us. Green light here. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding, verse 15, giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to bring a message on that particular phrase. And I don't plan to be long tonight. Really, I don't. But I just kind of reminding you some things. You know, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. It is hard. And I put in here that when we begin with that phrase, it starts with the conjunction but. The word but there, or that conjunction, speaks to the contrast between previous statements and the statement that is to come. And I think as we pick up in verse 13, I think we're talking about those that despise the word, those that do not fear the commandments. We're talking about those that have no concern for the law and nor departing from the snares of death. And it talks about, in these things, I believe there's good understanding that it giveth favor. And then we have the phrase, but the way of transgressors is hard. The transgressor is one who has decided to despise the word. He's decided to have no fear of the commandments, no regard for the law. And so he finds himself in snare after snare after snare after snare. As well as in verse number 15, having no understanding, the only logical outcome for that individual is a life that's defined as hard. A hard life. I ministered to folks that lived on the streets, and many of them it's evident that they've lived a hard life. I mean, they may be 45 and 50, but look like they're 65 and 70. I mean, they're just the years have been hard to them. Out in the elements, sweating and in society, and not able to eat at times, and disease and sickness, and the way of transgressors, the Bible says, is hard. It's hard. Now, to be a transgressor is a special type of person. A transgressor is one who has the knowledge of what is true. In other words, somebody who is ignorant cannot be considered a transgressor. A transgressor is somebody who has the knowledge of what is true, a knowledge of what is right, a good understanding of the way to walk and the way to live their lives according to God's will. And when that individual makes the decision to step outside of the confines of that truth and right that they have been taught, they could be classified then a transgressor. I like Brother Gary said, a transgressor is one who comes to the fence, if you will, when the fence is there, and is likely to just simply climb over it and go on about their way. They don't recognize boundaries. Boundaries that are established many by the Lord God Almighty, and a transgressor sees those boundaries, acknowledges those boundaries, but is determined, I'm not going to be limited by those boundaries. I'm going to go on and do my own thing. When they do that, their way, if you will, their life, if you will, well, it's just going to be hard. It's just going to be a hard life. Way of transgressors is hard. And from this vantage point of doing your own thing, of going over the boundaries, if you will, from this vantage point, you need not to live a life expecting God's blessings nor His favor, only a life defined as hard. It's in my heart to once again sound the warning tonight that sin does not pay. Sin does not pay. Well, don't in these days we live in, we toy sometimes with this thing of sin, thinking, who is it that tells what sin is? Just because so-and-so says it's sin, that doesn't make it wrong. Just because somebody else may look at something, that doesn't make it wrong, and we toy with it. But I'm telling you right now, sin is sin, and it's very dangerous. And whenever we choose to live a life of sin, it's going to end up being a hard life. And by the way, remember, transgressors. Not just people that are ignorant. For instance, Nebuchadnezzar was ignorant. Nebuchadnezzar the king was ignorant, and God taught him and brought him along and brought him to an understanding of God as the omnipotent God who's in charge. His son, however, was not ignorant. And we find that his son was the one who saw that writing on the wall, and Daniel tells him in his teaching, him says, "Thou, O Belteshazzar, hast not humbled thyself, though thou knewest all this." He was not ignorant. And the judgment came. He would be considered a transgressor because he knew what was right. He should have received the truth and acted accordingly. And so God's judgment came on him. So it's my heart to once again sound the warning that sin does not pay, that it is not worth it, in hopes that when temptations come in our lives, we will submit to what is right and not become transgressors. To not become transgressors. Tonight I'm going to invite us to step into the lives of some in Scripture, some individuals in Scripture that at that point are living the hard life of a transgressor. That at the point we're going to see them, they are living the hard life of a transgressor. Number one, I see a young man. I see a young man as he steps out of an old shanty shack there in the area of Jerusalem there on a sweltering hot summer day. He comes outside. His clothes are dirty and torn. He's not had a bath. It looks like he's not had a bath in several days. His hair's all disheveled and all over the place. The sweat is just beating off of his face as he comes out. All of a sudden, I notice something catches his attention. His pace begins to quicken as a servant comes out of the house with two big old slop buckets in each hand going out to feed the pigs. And as that servant pours that slop into that trough, the young man runs and hurriedly jumps over the fence, jumps in the midst of all the swine and pushing and kicking and shoving and yelling and trying to get those hogs back from that trough as he reaches his hands into that trough and tries to get as much food out of there as he can. He tosses it over the fence so the hogs can't get it, and he's getting as much as he can. He's grunting. The pigs are squealing. A putrefying smell is in the air, and as he got what he could, he jumped back over the pen and caught his breath, and I happened to pull on him and asked him, "Listen, son, what happened to you? What happened to you?" His story is found in Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, there, that prodigal. And I'll turn over there and real quickly, it might be 16. I get those two mixed up. No, it is 15. Here's that individual. We see him there, and he's fighting the hogs for his food. The Bible says he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat there in Luke chapter number 15. And as I come up to him, I ask him, I says, listen, what happened? He began to explain to me a childhood that he was raised up in. It was a childhood that had established boundaries. It was a hedged life for him. It was one of safety and of security. It was a boundary that could be identified as the Father's will. It was the Father's will. He lived in his Father's house and he went by his Father's rules and he submitted to his Father's way and his Father's will there in his home. But he states to me that I wanted, I realized that I was in a place that was surrounded by the Father's will, but I wanted to do my own will. I wanted to do my own will. And so one day I talked to my father and told him to give me the money that I had coming to me by way of inheritance. And he gave me the money and lo and behold, I set out across the fence. I set out across the boundary. I took a long journey into a far country to live out my own will away from the Father's will. He would go on there and he explains, he said, listen, by hopping that fence, by going across that boundary, my life from that point on, it involved a walking away. We see in verse number 13 that not many days after the younger son had gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, a walking away from what he'd been taught, a walking away from what was right, a walking away from safety, a walking away from security, a walking away from standards and convictions, a walking away from what was right. Not only did it involve a walking, but it involved a wasting. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, I'm sorry, back at verse 13, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Man, in that will of the Father, he didn't worry about these things, but once he crossed over that boundary, he found himself in a life where it's defined as waste. He not only walked away from what was right, but his life began to be filled with waste. Wasted finances, wasted opportunities, wasted ventures of life, trying to get settled and trying to get situated. Everything was a waste. Not only did it involve a waste, but it involved a wanting. There in verse number 14 says, when he had spent all, after he wasted everything, there arose a mighty famine in the land and he began to be in want. That word wanting there speaks of constant desire. In other words, never satisfied. Never satisfied. Take this boy from a place where though he had rules and he had standards in his home, it was a place of all that is good. It was a protected place. It was a hedged place. And he stepped out over it. Now he's experienced walking away and wasted life. And now he's in a place where he can never be satisfied. Beloved, you walk away from what's right, you're going to find yourself in a place where you're never satisfied. Never satisfied. And while I have burden to see this individual, and now, beyond that, now he's just wandering around here. I see in this guy's life there's several opportunities. He should have went back, but he didn't. And I'm telling you, sin will do that to you. It'll carry you a long way. You'll think, I can still figure it out. I can figure it out. I can figure it out. Next thing you know, 30, 40 years has passed. And here he is wondering. The Bible tells us that when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And there he is at a place where he's arguing and wrestling with the swine over what he's going to eat. Just wandering. Just a vagabond. Somebody that has no home. He's just drifting. Amen. I know a lot of people like that. And I know you probably know a lot of people like that. But the sad truth is there's some in here that's going to become that. And it's going to be because you walked away from the will of your Father. Well, I have to ask him the question. Here he is fighting the swine. I have to ask him the question. Here he is wandering. Here he is now in wanting. Here he is now after wasting his substance. Here he is now after having walked away from all that he had. I have to ask him this question. Was it worth it? That's what I want to know. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Absolutely not, this prodigal said. Absolutely not. In fact, what he says, I've been thinking about this for a little while. I'm going back to the Father's house. I'm going back to the Father's house. Verse number 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? That's good logic. That's good logic. I've walked away from it. I've wasted all my substance. I've been in one. Now I'm just drifting around a vagabond. All because the boundary that was established in my life, I had to cross and had to get out of it. I'm going back. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And so he rose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the Bible says his father saw him, praise God. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son explained to him all that he had said before. But here he said, listen, that life is not worth it. To be a transgressor, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. I had to walk away. I wasted my life. I'm in warning, just a wandering, drifting vagabond. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Went back to the Father. I see another individual. I see another individual. As we walk upon this man, I see he's got his head laid very softly and gently in the lap of his girlfriend. And oh, what's this? A house, blows open and the Philistines come in there and they grab this individual. Oh my goodness, it's Samson. Samson just shaved his head. I couldn't even recognize him. Oh my goodness, they poked his eyes out. Now they're dragging him off. They bound him up and they've tied him to the back of an animal. They're dragging him down to the prison there, and his eyes being gouged out as they're put in prison to grind there in that prison. And lo and behold, a few days later, a party takes place, and boy, they want to give sacrifice today, God, a false God, a God that has no power, God that does not even exist, and they're going to worship Him. And boy, they're going to praise and celebrate Him because that God, that false God, has delivered unto them Samson right here. And so they say, let's bring old Samson up here that we may have sport. And somebody goes down there and finds that mountain of a man that once was a mountain of a man, now with his head shaven and his eyes gouged out and feeling his way down the hallways and being treated like a common criminal and being beat and mocked and spat upon and ridiculed. Tie him up to two posts that they can laugh and celebrate Dagon because of what Dagon has done in delivering Samson to them. Oh my goodness. While their backs are turned, we sneak up to old Samson and we ask him, Samson, what happened? What happened? What happened, Samson? He explained, I was taught right. I was raised right. I had every opportunity. I mean, I was a gifted young man. It's even said of me that I was a Nazirite from my mother's womb. God was in my life. I was equipped. I was literally equipped to serve God. My life had a hedge about it. I had certain things that I knew was right and things that I knew was wrong. And those things in my life encouraged my ability to please God with my life. But I was so bent on self-pleasure. I was so taken by self-pleasure. What I wanted, that one day I determined, I'm going to climb over that hedge, I'm going to step over that line, and I'm going to cross that boundary. And instead of pleasing God, I chose to please myself. I chose to live to please myself. And now, here I am. Here I am. Shell of a man that I once was. My eyes gouged out. I'll never be able to see again. Bruises and beatings on my body as my hair was shaven and I have no strength. This is what's left. My transgression cost me good and godly relationships. My walking away from what I knew to be true and right, my transgression, it cost me relationships. I had no fellowship with my father. I had no fellowship with my mother. Nobody could stay around me very long because my life was all about me. It cost me good relationships. My transgression cost me a righteousness. I did things that I knew was wrong according to God's word. I was not supposed to handle any dead things, and I handled dead things. I was not supposed to taste the wine and strong drink, but I did so anyway. Nor was I supposed to shave my head, and you can tell that's already happened. I went against all that I knew to be good and right according to God's will for my life. I didn't please God. I wanted to please myself. And it cost me relationships. It cost me righteousness. It cost me a reputation that at one time was for God. And everybody heard of me. They thought about, boy, how God has blessed that young man. Everybody had mentioned old Samson. He's a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He's a special individual. Now look at me. Now look at me. I can't do anything without somebody leading me. It cost me relationships. It cost me righteousness. It cost me a good reputation. And now I'm filled with regret over the things that I've done. I'm filled with regret over the things that I've done. I have no strength. I have no friends. And I have no sight. That's a hard life. That's a hard life. Well, I need to know this, Samson, if I could ask you. I need to know this from you, Samson. I need to know this. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Absolutely not, he said. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, I've been thinking about this. My hair's starting to grow a little bit. I think I'm going to call out unto God. We see in Judges 16, verse number 28. Judges 16, verse number 28. Listen to these words. The Bible says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. Only this once." Samson prayed one more chance, Lord. Just one more chance. And ask the Lord to only this once. Give him strength. Strengthen him. I pray only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So he died. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And then his brethren came and received his body. But there's Samson, a testament that the way of transgressors is hard. I see a third individual. I'm looking out over sea, and lo and behold, I see in the distance a ship that's being tossed with the waves. The water's getting on top of it. The merchandise is being cast off of it. And lo and behold, look at that. Look what's going on. I see four or five men. They've got a hold of a guy. And they threw him overboard.
Quick, a life vest, throw him a life vest. Get him down so we can save this man. And it's too late. A great fish has come up and swallowed him. There he is in the belly of a whale. Tossed overboard in the sea. Swallowed up by the whale. A life, if we look there in Jonah chapter number 2, it's defined as a life that without a doubt is considered to be hard. Hard. Verse number 2 says, I cried by reason of mine affliction. That's his life right now. It's a life of affliction. Not only the tempest that was the ship was in, but now being tossed overboard, and not even drowning, but now being swallowed up by this whale. In this position, he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. And he says, out of the belly of hell cried I. That defines this man's life right here, right now. Affliction and a living hell. There he is, pining away in the acids, if you will, and the nastiness of the stomach of the insides of a whale. Cast away, verse number 3. Floods all upon him. Verse number 5, he says there, the waters compass me about even to the soul. I believe you got to imagine just the darkness of that time and just the woefulness and the hopelessness of where he was. The depth closed me round about and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I don't think anybody would like to be in that situation. That's a hard situation to be in. It's a hard situation because it is the way of the transgressors. Darkness, the stench, being covered by seaweed and being engulfed with fear. In verse 6 talks about bars. The earth with her bars was about me forever. This feeling of imprisonment. We could go to Jonah and get up beside Jonah. Jonah, listen, I've got to know, Jonah, what happened? What happened? I don't want to end up this way. I don't want nobody to end up this way. Jonah, tell me what happened. Jonah said, my life was centered around being obedient to God's word. I knew God's word. I understood God's word very clearly, very plainly. And I grew up being taught how we should obey God's word and honor God's word and be true to God's word. In fact, there was even a time in my life when I declared one day, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I believe that's so because Jonah in his confession said, I will pay that I vowed unto you. Jonah promised God, I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I told God that I would do whatever he asked me to do, that I'd do it. Lo and behold, the word came one day. God's word came to me and told me that he wanted me to go to this place, Nineveh, and to preach to Nineveh. His word. But all my friends told me, you don't have to obey that. You probably just misunderstood that. Why, those Ninevites, they're the enemies, and we don't have to go to them. They're the enemies, and since they're our enemies, they must be God's enemies, and you must have heard God wrong, that God's not going to hold you accountable to that. You don't have to obey God in this manner. God will understand. You just follow your heart, and you be happy, and that's how God will lead you, and you do what you want to do, Jonah. So I listened to my friends. Jonah did do that, by the way. Verse 8 says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah was influenced by outsiders, just like some of us are. Jonah says, so I listened to my friends and I decided to go the opposite direction when God told me to go to Nineveh. That was the will of God. That was what the Word of God told me. God said, go to Nineveh. I decided to go to Tarshish.
And here I am. Here I am. In the belly of this whale. Soon to die. Jonah, let me ask you this question. I mean, you stepped over that line. You knew what God wanted you to do, but you decided you wasn't. You stepped over that line in disobedience. You went the other way. Jonah, was it worth it? Was it worth it, Jonah? No, he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, I'm going to call out unto him right now. We see in verse number 7, so when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. See Jonah's confession? Lord, I'll be obedient. I'll do what I said I was going to do. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then when God's word came in chapter number 3, Jonah arose, verse 3, and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. The way of transgressors is hard, and all three of these individuals we see in that prodigal. He stepped over the line. We see in Samson, he crossed that line. We see in Jonah, he crossed that line. And these, we read about, were able to turn things around and allow God to change things and use them once again. It wasn't the case for all the people in God's Word. You know, David heralded the cry, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I'd died for thee. Would to God I'd had died for thee. Because of something that began with his sin with Bathsheba. The child that she was conceived and the child that she was had given birth to died. Tamar raped by her brother. Amnon killed by Absalom. And now here Absalom being killed. Because of David's transgression. Jeroboam. We come up on Jeroboam, lo and behold, there's a funeral going on. That child of his was taken in judgment by God. Very unique words said about that child. In him was found some good thing. Now they're burying him because of his transgression. Saul eventually got to the point where the Lord said of him, he's rejected as being king. What about Achan? You see Achan there as the earth swallows him up. Achan, was it worth it? I'll promise you, he'd tell you, absolutely not. I should have left those articles. I should not have even touched them. I should have left them right there. I thought I could get away with it. I thought nobody would ever know. I thought I could do it and I could be rich and my family would be rich. My intentions may have been great. Ain't worth it. What about Judas? He realized what he had done in betraying the Lord for those pieces of silver, tried to return it, but he couldn't return it. He said, see thou to it. Went out and hanged himself. Listen, sin and rebellion can be very hypnotic. Can be very hypnotic. It can take you away. We know the reaping and laws of reaping and sowing. You always reap what you sow, you always reap later than you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. And that applies to righteousness or sinfulness. My friend, when it comes to transgression and sin, it can be very hypnotic, and it promises great revenue. But listen, for the child of God who knows better, for the child of God who's been taught better, for the child of God who understands His holy word, to be a transgressor is going to get you nothing but a hard life. Nothing but a life of torment, regret, pain, misery. And in some cases, you may have the opportunity to come back. But in some, you may not. So I just challenge you tonight. The way of transgressors is hard. Let's be careful that we don't toy with sin in our life. When temptations come, it's very quickly, very firmly. Get away from it and not be a transgressor. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Our heads bowed and eyes closed.